speak for you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Guy. My name is Guy. I do not know very much about it. You know, this I need to communicate. Do not know very much. My name is Guy.
I'm sorry, I quite can't understand your name.
My name, yes. My name, it is Kyle.
Kyle?
No, Kyle.
Kyle.
Oh. Kyle.
Kyle.
So, that is
it. Thank you very much, dear.
I have come here doing the war. I was intern concentration camp. I was a doctor. I was interned during the war. I was against the Nazis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
You may ask why I come to you.
You have a very good reason.
No, you may ask, but I come because I am interested in all this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I am very anxious to learn, to speak, to manifesto, to speak, to be able to help people here, you know. Many people want help, you know, in your work.
Mm-hmm.
I like for them to know I help. You can do great things with this, yeah. This machine. Do would help pretty people. You tell them, make them know of truth. Many people don't know that there is life after that, but you make them know. It is good. It is very good.
We try to explain it to them. Yeah.
My name is Schultz. My name is Schultz.
Carl Schultz.
Carl Schultz.
Yeah.
I was in Vienna. I was in prison in Dachau, you know.
Yeah, I do know.
So, but we will not talk about it. I like very much for you to help, you know.
Dr. Schultz, can you tell me what you're doing on the other side now?
Yeah, I help the people, the new people, the souls, you know, who come new.
Yeah.
Help them, especially my people, how you say, my race, you know. Yeah, I help Jewish people. You know, many people come, don't know they are dead, no, they think they're still alive, you know. They clean, they want very much to get back into their body. They don't know, they think they are dreaming. Many people think many things, but not realize they're dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is very interesting to help them, you know, to understand.
May I ask how you found yourself, what reaction you had on your insult?
Oh, I was very, very unhappy at first. You may think that's strange,
yes.
After being in concentration camp, one would be glad to be relieved, but you know, like many people on earth, even when you are most unhappy in a place like that, you have hope. You still cling to hope that you will get out, that you will live, that you will overcome, you know, everything. But when I first came, I could not realize at first that I was dead either. I was long time in concentration camp when I was dead, trying to get back, trying to help too. I would not realize at first that it was finished. didn't like to think I was dead. I did not fully realize what it meant to be dead. I did not realize the possibility of being dead. Tremendous possibility. Oh, it was that my mind was so close to her. I suppose I was a materialist. I realized now that much of my thoughts was purely materialistic, which was bad. And I have to learn to release myself from the earth and the thoughts of the earth. Very deep, but eventually I did. But I now like to help people like myself who were clinging to things which were no longer important.
Mr. Schultz, how did you actually find yourself? In what sort of condition actually?
Well, it was as if I was suspended in space. Mm-hmm. That was that I was conscious of being light and free, and yet somehow mentally I was held by the earth and the thoughts of the earth and the peoples of the earth. I must tell you, when I was on earth, I was an atheist. I did not believe in anything. I thought it religion was all to what you say, nonsense, no good, you know, mm-hmm. silly, foolish.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not believe nothing, anything. That when I was dead, I could still see people, I could see everything. And what amazed me was, you know, the funny thing, for a long time I did not know I could go outside that cup. I was still inside that cup. I did not realize that in my new state of being, I could walk through that barbed wire. I could walk outside into what you call freedom.
Mm.
Somehow, the concentration of the thought and the depression, everything about that place, held me, kept me close to it. I could not release myself from it. And it was not until some while that I was able to get outside and away from. And then I began to realize that I was free, that I was not dead, that everything was real, my body was real, everything, it was the same, and yet different, you know, lighter, no feeling of heaviness, no feeling of hunger, no feeling of depression. I gradually went, everything was different. And then I was able to do things and go to places. I went all over different places. I was curious to know what was happening in Munich and Vienna and Rome. I seemed to be able to have what you call a cook's tour, all for nothing. But of course it was depressing because the world was at war, there was unhappiness. And then I began to realize that I could do things, you know. It was an extraordinary thing, you know, this. I found that I was capable of influencing people. That was marvelous. I thought, this now is marvelous. I can influence people. I can make people do things. And I thought, if I can make people think differently, if I can perhaps prevent someone suffering, I can do good work. So for a long time I clung to earth and I tried to influence people. I influence people like in the air to drop even their bombs at the wrong moment so they would miss the target.
Mm.
And people's lives would be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when sometimes I saw people who were killed, I could go to them and help them and tell them and speak to them, try to make them understand.
Mm.
And gradually I began to feel that I was doing good work and I was helping people. And as I began to help people and to do things, it seems as if my vision became wider. I could see things I had never seen before. And I could see in space new countries, beautiful countries, like Earth, but more beautiful. And there was a peace and a happy atmosphere. I felt drawn to it, and gradually I began to realize I was drifting away from the earth, and I was entering into this new life, which of course was the only time, but I could not see it, I did not know of it, because of my state of mind. I was clinging to earth, thinking of earthly things, and I could not visualize or see that which was there. Only when you yourself are receptive. You know, you have made it possible. And I enter into a new life, and I find great peace, great happiness, great joy there. And I meet my people too, my mother, who were passed when I was infant. My father was still on earth, and I had already met him. I had gone to see him, you know. And he was very old man, of course, very old man indeed. And eventually, when he came here, I was able to help him.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. I don't know how to explain. And I teach, I go to college here, and I learn many things about the mind, and the power of mind, and what thought can do, what it can achieve, how it can overcome, and how it can alter the whole personality of man, how it can create the power of thought. I study it, I realize it, what it can do. So, when people come here, I help them to reset, how you say, to change their approach, to change their method of thinking, and in consequence, eventually, they find happiness too. Oh, and many things I do, many lovely things, wonderful, wonderful. I am very happy now.
Dr. Schultz, did anybody before you actually came to that realization, did anybody particularly help you?
No, well, yes and no. When I said no, I wasn't conscious, you see. You see, how can I say? When I come over first, when I die, you see, I was only conscious of earth. I was only conscious of things on the earth.
Mm.
Because my mind was so concentrated on earthly things. But gradually, when I began to become restless, unhappy, unsettled, because I felt that it was wrong somehow, that there must be something. I could not be in this state of not being alive and yet being alive. In other words, not being in a physical body, not being on earth and yet being conscious of earth and be outside it at the same time. It all seemed as if somehow there was something wrong. I was conscious that there was something lacking, and I did not know how or what it was. But eventually, I suppose because of my state of mind, of uncertainty, me myself beginning to wish to know, I opened, as it were, the door gradually in my inner self, and the thoughts, vibration of other souls who were higher than myself became conscious things within myself, and gradually I began to perceive, I began to see, know, understand. You see, one must remember, whatever it may be in life, you can only understand it, you can only appreciate it when you become receptive, when you become, how you say, when you become yourself anxious, desiring to know. So many people, for instance, in your work, have what you call the closed book, the closed mind.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to know. They think they know what they know, and that is sufficient. Anything else than what they know must be wrong. They are right, and no one else could be right but them. You see, you have people, like many people I know, many friends I used to know, they thought that their religion was the right religion. They thought their truth was the only truth, and nothing could shake them, and in consequence, they have this narrow vision. And they cannot see because they do not want to see. But once man is inquisitive, once man desires to know, wants to find out, man should always have a flexible mind. He should always have a mind that will absorb, like a sponge. You know, a man whose mind is closed is dead.
Mm.
The man whose mind is open is alive. He's alive to all things, receptive. And things he cannot accept, he may retain them and think about them from time to time and analyze them, dissect them. And if eventually he can't accept them, he can reject them. But the person whose mind is closed is not prepared to accept anything. Only that which he thinks he knows is correct. And that may be for him sufficient, but it may often be a great drawback to progress, in that way it is.
Mm-hmm.
No truth is complete. All truths are part of another truth. It is like a diamond, you know, in many facets.
Mm-hmm.
It is not perfect. In itself, it has many facets. Truth is something which never stop speaking truth. It always grows, there's always more truth to act to. One should never close one's mind and heart to truth.
You mentioned that you were going to colleges and learning all about the mind. Now, when you were on the earth plane, were you a psychologist or a psychiatrist? Did you go into
no,
that kind of...
No, I wish I had. I realized there's tremendous field. In fact, I go as far to say that if there was more investigation into the mind, if there were more psychologists, more psychiatrists, it would be good for the world, because so much is undiscovered, so much is there to be found. Besides, I think the salvation of the world can be more in the hands of psychiatrists than it can ever be in the hands of priests.
But don't you think the psychiatrists should go a little bit deeper than they're going?
Agreed, they do not go deep enough, but they go somewhere or part of the way.
Yeah.
But they do not go deep enough.
I mean, they wouldn't agree with you if you said to them, well, a baby has the subconscious mind of an adult. They wouldn't agree, would they? But they have.
No, but they have.
Yeah.
They have, but it is that they don't understand. They are very good, many, like some of them, do wonderful work. But the power of mind is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize that everything is thought, nothing can be achieved, nothing can be done, nothing can be analyzed, nothing can be achieved without it. You know? Thought is creative. Without it, we cease to be. We are thought. Yes.
We are a thought form, the actual power of thought, the result of the power of thought.
You see, man has become accustomed to having a physical body on earth, and he thinks that is important and essential, which it is. He must have it to express himself on earth. But you see, over here, although majority of people continue to have a physical body, that is a body, a psychical, spiritual body, a counterpart of the physical body, they think it is important to have shape, you see. So they think of themselves in shape or form, and in consequence they have it. But the higher evolved entities I have gathered do not necessarily have shape, but they can assume it. You know, I understand so many things I did not understand before. You know, it is so understandable that we become what we become because we have made it possible. We can assume what we wish to assume because we wish it and have made it possible. A man may take the shape, if he wish, of a man. Or he can, if he like, cease to be in shape until such time he wish to recreate it. You see, it is only the power of thought. God has given man life. It is life that continues. Shape and form are incidental. They may be essential under certain conditions, but they are not always important as people think when on earth.
It's the mind that's the real thing.
The mind of the power behind the mind. That is the thing.
Dr. Schultz, do you believe still in a personal God? You said the power of God just now. Do you believe in a personal God as a man?
No.
You don't?
No. I don't think any intelligent person could ever really believe that, whether they are on earth or over here. None of us believe in a personal God from the point of view that the majority of religious people do, or religious creeds teach. That is very childish attitude, I think. I don't think any very intelligent person believes there is such a thing as a personal physical God, especially as depicted in the Bible. No. God is the power behind all life. It is a force, not a person.
Yeah. I've just been reading a very interesting book on astral traveling, and there it gives you how the mind affects the actual person who is travelling at the time. And especially, I couldn't quite understand about the astral cord, but I realise it now. It is actually a thought form, isn't it?
It's not a solid thing.
No.
So you see, people have the idea that this astral cord is something that is something that can be extended, you know, like a pipe or a tube. It is not so. It is a mental thing.
It's really the magnetic, before the cord is actually severed, it's the magnetic pull of your body, isn't it? It's you're not ready to leave it yet, properly.
Quite.
That's what it
means. Once that is severed, you cease to have a physical, material existence, but you still exist mentally and spiritually.
It's a magnetic drawing, isn't
so it? So, it is a psychic thing. Yeah. It is substance, but not physical. Therefore, it is not, as people depict or think, a physical thing. It is a psychic thing rather than anything. It is that link between the physical and the mental which holds the two together.
And is it true that in sleep state, even if you're not astral traveling, the astral body, this coincides with the physical 4 or 5 inches, and is replenished with cosmic energy, and that energy is in your physical body, in food, and that doesn't make the energy, it only makes the tissues or so forth for the energy to work on.
Yes, that is true. The physical body needs physical sustenance to keep it in shape or keep it in trim. Now you say it is necessary, but that is not in itself all by any means.
Yes.
The energy of life is in the atmosphere around and about you.
Mm-hmm.
You draw all the time, human beings are drawing on the atmosphere, and if the atmosphere is polluted or disturbed, as it can be, as it is now, much more so than perhaps a century ago, it will affect humanity, perhaps not immediately, but the future generations. Man does not know what dangerous things he is tampering with, what he is doing, how he is harming, eventually, life. You cannot interfere with nature, without nature will react. That's why all these, how you say, experimentation with H bomb and so on is very bad.
Mm.
And if allowed to continue, would be disastrous.
Yeah.
I would come and talk with you again if I may.
I'd like you to, Dr. Schultz.
I am very sorry, that your friend was not with you today.
Yes, he was very disappointed.
But give to him my regards.
Yes.
And I speak with your boss next time, maybe.
Thank you very much.
I hope I helped a little, huh?
Yes, you do. I hope I've helped you a little, too.
Thank you very much. I am very well.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.